In today's gospel, Christ promises us that we who receive his life in communion will share that life forever. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the Jewish crowds, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors, who ate all and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Father Peter Schellinger is a Jesuit priest who served for a number of years in the African country of Nigeria. When he finished his tour of duty there and returned to this country, he wrote an article for America Magazine, the Jesuit journal, describing some of his experiences in Nigeria. And he describes the church there as young, fervent, and joyful. Young because it's a young church, not just because there's a lot of young people in it, but because the church has only been there for about 100 years, so it's a young church. Fervent, the people really deeply live their faith. And joyful, because they rejoice. They rejoice in their faith. He gives one example. He said, you know, many of those towns over there, even small cities, they're not very rich. The people can't afford big fancy churches, so they end up with Quonset huts or something like that. And most of those churches are not rich enough to afford bells. They can't put up bells to call the people to worship. So he said in one particular church he was thinking of, I think that it was named St. James Church, but anyway, they came up with this solution. They took a big truck tire's rim, the rim of an old truck tire, hung it up on a tree. And every Sunday, a half hour before Mass, somebody would go out with an old pipe. They'd beat on the truck rim. And people could hear it. And he said that within a half an hour, 1,000 people would gather for worship. 1,000 people would gather for worship. I remember seeing a documentary not long ago about Nigeria, and it was a documentary on a mass that was being celebrated for some local saint that had been declared a saint. Hundreds and thousands of people there. When it came time for the gospel, something interesting. The priest, could be a deacon too if they had one, would process down through the crowd because the book of the gospels would be out in the back. Deacon or priest would take the book of the Gospels and now process back down through the crowd with the book. And as the book of the Gospels was coming down through the crowd, people would start chanting and singing and cheering and lululating, as the Africans do, welcoming the word of God. See, for them, God was going to speak to them. It's His word. God deigned to speak to His people, to speak to them of His love, speak to them of His mercy, to speak to them about what He expected of them. They were rejoicing. God was going to speak to them. And then one other example that Father Peter gives, I'll read it to you because it's more eloquent than what I could say by myself. He's describing here a Corpus Christi procession. In many parts of the world, even in our own country in some places, it was always the custom on the Feast of the Body and Blood of the Lord, the Feast of Corpus Christi, to have a procession with the Blessed Sacrament, the consecrated bread in a monstrance, and they would process, the people would process around the church or sometimes down through the streets of the city and process with the Blessed Sacrament, and then they'd have benediction someplace. Well, this is his description of a Corpus Christi procession in Nigeria. Yesterday was Corpus Christi procession day in Port Harcourt. The Lord sent rain. All along the two-mile route, the people danced and sang in the rain. It was the first time I recall the Blessed Sacrament being carried into the place of benediction to the sound of resounding cheering and clapping. Everyone was drenched, but no one thought of seeking shelter or running away. Judges, lawyers, doctors, mothers, children stood their ground as if nothing was happening here except the Eucharist. I have not seen anything like it before, here or anywhere else. Kind of an inspirational picture, isn't it? 2 miles, people lined up on a 2 mile route. And as the Blessed Sacrament would pass through them, they cheer and sing and chant. Everybody, doctors, lawyers, all walks of life, all ages, and all of it. Sounds like thousands of people gathering there. All of it done in a drenching rain. What a powerful expression of faith. And what were the people during that procession doing? What were they cheering and chanting and singing for? Because they knew and believed that in that Eucharist, Christ Himself was present. The Lord Himself took up His dwelling among them. God Himself in Christ was present with them, cheering, grateful, joyful that God was with them. I think it reminds us, it should remind us anyway, of what we do every time we gather here in church. And when we come here, we come not simply to remember what Christ did at the Last Supper. We do that, of course. We don't come here just to celebrate some symbol of Christ. We come here to encounter Jesus Himself, the risen Lord present among us. That's what we come to do, to encounter the risen Lord. When that bread and wine that we bless and consecrate here, the priest does that, when that is done, I hope we understand we are no longer in the presence of bread and wine. We're in the presence of Christ Himself. Lord, the Lord Himself, as He promised that night of the Last Supper, this is my body, this is my blood. That bread and wine becomes the very presence of the living Lord. It's not just a simple symbol. It's not just a remembrance. The Eucharist is not something. The Eucharist is someone. Someone. Jesus Himself here. We might say, you know, well, it's so hard to believe that. How can that happen? How can simple bread and wine be transformed into the very presence, the real living presence of Christ? The answer is, We'll never understand how that happens. To us, it's a mystery. But do we believe Christ when he promises it? That's the question. Do we believe what he says? From the earliest days of the church, that was what was believed. We see it in St. Paul today. The cup that we share, is it not a sharing in the blood of Christ, he says? The body, the bread that we share, is it not a sharing in the body of Christ? Now, the early church never tried to explain how this was possible. They just believed it because Christ said it. And it's not as if people didn't have questions about it. It's not as if people were ignorant and didn't wonder how it all happened. They always had questions. We see it even in the gospel today. Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. My body, my blood is real drink. My body is real. People don't understand that. How can that be? The church never tried to explain it. We just believe it because Christ promised it. One of the early fathers of the church had a wonderful way of dealing with it, though. He said something like this. He said to the people who had questions, you know, he said, look, do you believe that God created everything out of nothing? God's creative word created everything. And they, well, of course we believe that. And he said, well, if you believe that, why would you not believe that the powerful word of God could change bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ? You don't understand how he created everything out of nothing. You don't understand how he creates bread and wine, makes them into the body in Christ. The same creative word of God is powerful and can do what it says it does. So we believe. Christ himself is with us. Christ is present here. Not just a symbol. Eucharist is never something. It's someone here for us. Why is he here? Why is he over in Africa? Why is he every place where the Eucharist is? The fathers of the church had a wonderful explanation for that. They said, you know, when Christ became man, when Christ became incarnate in human nature, divinity and humanity were united. But how was then Christ going to unite himself to every single person? How does he do that? Through the Eucharist. Humanity and divinity are combined in him, but now how is he going to give himself to every single person? Through the Eucharist. When we receive him in communion, once again he assumes flesh, our flesh. Our flesh takes on our flesh to give us his life. A life, as he says today, that's meant to last forever. So if we gather on this great feast today, a great, wonderful, hopefully celebration of the recognition that God dwells with us, God gives us himself. Here's a challenge I have for you. You know, we sophisticated, staid, conservative Americans, especially in New England, perhaps, we have a hard time expressing our emotions. But here's the question I have for you. Could you dance in the rain? Could you cheer and sing in the rain? Could you do that? If you can't do that, at least dance in your hearts. Dance in your hearts, in your minds, because God is here for you. May God bless you.